Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. Lee, and I have unlimited power!
Unlimited power, yes.
That dark ride.
Feel the hate flow through you. I'm J-Clone 34.
34. All right, today, we haven't done a Wednesday with just me and you in a long time.
It's been a moment.
We're still at Ronald McDonald Studio. We're actually in the lobby recording, so if you hear somebody walk by in the background, that's what's happening.
Your toilet flush? Hopefully it's not me.
I was going to say,
we are near the bathroom.
Oh, we are near a bathroom. I forgot. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how you're going to hear a toilet, but that makes sense. Today, we're going to talk about Ogie.
Ogie.
But before that, we have a lot of front of house stuff. We haven't done a front of house episode in a while.
Yeah, let's get those underway.
So I want to, the Patreon and app peeps, there's been a lot of new guys, and I haven't got the chance. I have a limited list here, and if I missed your name, I'll get you on the next one, because I can only pull up so many weeks on the phone. I need the full thing at the home to really look at how many people.
Right.
But I have Belshira joined. Thank you, Belshira.
Welcome.
Key.
Key?
Yep, welcome. Thank
From
you.
From Key and Peele?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
That'd be cool.
Manly P. Hall.
The Mason?
I have no idea.
Manly P. Hall is a... I don't think that's his real name, but that's like the guy that... What do you call him? A philosopher?
They make a stone?
No, not philosopher's stone. Manly P. Hall. He writes in... He's like Mason occult stuff writing.
Maybe it actually is him.
Maybe, I don't know. No, I think he's dead.
Well, I mean, maybe it is him.
All right.
Jenna from Canada.
Welcome, Jenna.
And Charlie.
Charlie. Welcome, Charlie.
Now, you talk for a second. Well, I got to pull up the app guys.
The app guys? Oh, that joined our space, website space?
Yep.
So, yes, you can join us on Patreon, but if you have troubles with Patreon, which sometimes we do, you can listen to all of our special Patreon episodes by joining our member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
It's down below. The link.
So yes.
You can get the app, too, the member space app.
Right.
And not have, like, the paid version. If you listen to Patreon or whatever, you can just listen to everything on the app, too.
Correct.
And there's update stuff. I try to update it. It's been a little hard up here.
again, we are in Ronald McDonald Studios, which means we're in the Ronald McDonald House recording until, well, until further notice, I guess.
Yeah, it will. I'll be here for a little bit.
Yeah.
But Cameron joined recently. Welcome, Cameron.
Welcome.
I'm trying to pull it up. You talk for a second.
Oh, I thought you had it pulled up.
I do, but it's out of order. I think Cameron's our only new one on the app.
Okay.
And then thank you, Cameron, for your order of a lot of t-shirts and a mini J clone.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, next week you got to ship like four of those.
The mini clones?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Just use the post office, too.
Okay.
Oh, well. Poor Chris has been waiting on his shirt for weeks.
Okay.
But speaking of which, we have merch.
Merch.
There's tons of t-shirt designs.
Where can they get our merch? If you want to support us and our cause,
go to CrypticsOfCorn.com and click on the shop tab.
Yes, that's probably the best way to support us.
Speaking of which, I think we'll do a discount on this episode too, a secret discount.
Ooh, what's the code?
So it's going to be OGGIE after today's monster.
How do you spell that?
OGGIE.
OGGIE.
Mm-hmm. OGGIE.
So go to the CrypticsOfCorn.com. And click the shop
tab. How much
tab,
should we do?
And when you check out, type in the promo code OGGIE, OGGIE.
You want to do 15%? 1-5?
Sure.
Okay. You get 15% discount.
All right.
OGGIE. Now, so merch, Patreon, apps. Oh, okay. So next year we have a project. We're not going to do as many conferences. We kind of have our core group of conferences we really, really love. We and Jay talked. We'd love to do more live shows.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fun with that, with you guys and stuff like that. It's more intimate. It's a lot. Like, it's a lot of fun because you guys try to come see us at conferences and stuff, which is awesome. But it's really hard to get that, you know, hangout time at conferences.
Right. It is hard.
So we're looking for show suggestions. As in, let's say you're in Oklahoma and there's a really, really cool Oklahoma-based podcast. We don't want to hear about them, and we may reach out to them and, you know, partner up to do a live show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because basically, we want to travel and do live shows, but it's nice to have an in-state person to do those with.
Right.
And we already got a couple people on, you know, AI and Eric we've talked to, you know, so we already got a group of people, but we're always looking for more, because I think next year, that'll be next year's big project.
Sweet.
Anything to add?
No, that sounds, I mean, I would rather do more live shows just because with conferences, yeah, I mean, you get to talk to everyone, but everyone wants to have a moment or time, you know, to see you. At least with this, you get more, like you said, intimate time. Like, time you actually spend and talk to you guys.
Too. It's just really hard when there's, you know, 30,000 people there.
That one, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, like, no, it's extremely hard. And, like, most of the time, if you're a listener and stuff like that, we let you come behind the booth and hang out.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about OGGIE.
All right. OGGIE.
Have you ever heard of OGGIE?
Yes. Let's talk to OGGIE.
Yeah, OGGIE. So you've never heard of OGGIE, huh?
I don't think so. It's a funny name.
If anybody's ever noticed there's a weird edit in there, I think...
I think I just met an OGGIE.
Somebody may have pooped themselves doing a recording in a public lobby.
Maybe.
But that's okay. That's okay. All right, let's talk about OGGIE.
Womp, 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 womp.
Oh, gosh.
That wasn't even a button.
OGGIE is a legendary lake monster reportedly inhabiting Lake... Onabega is, I think, how it's pronounced. I'm going to guess it's Algonquin.
Where's this from?
Syracuse, New York.
Oh, okay.
Described as a colossal...
salamander?
Yes.
No
like
way.
Creature. OGGIE has been the subject of local lore in fascinating, capturing the imagination of residents and visitors alike.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, it's... they say salamander-like, but we're going to get into the description. I think they're using the term very loosely.
Hmm.
You know, just an aquatic animal-like, okay. I guess. You know, it's not a whale type. It's more of a limbed type aquatic animal.
Okay.
So legend and origin. We're going to do this one, and then we will take our ad break.
Okay, cool.
The tale of OGGIE traces back to the early 1970s, when reports of a mysterious creature roaming the depths of Lake Onabega began to surface. According to local legends, the creature originates from... So it's got a weird... It's one of these local legend things.
Okay.
So
those are the best ones, though.
Yeah, no, it has a fun... According to local legend, the creature's origins can be linked to the lake's unfortunate history of heavy pollution.
That's not good. That's once not a good sign for salamanders, though.
Well, ruining the ending.
Oh, sorry.
Once a pristine body of water with great significance to the Native American tribes in the area, what I believe is the Algonquins, the lake finally fell victim to industrial pollution and neglect during the 19th and 20th century. It got really, in the like the 60s and the 50s, it got really bad.
It looks like, this is a weird lake name. Onondaga?
Is that how you say it?
Onondaga.
Onabaga is how I said it, because...
Well, there's no B, it's a D.
Oh, well, that'd be dyslexia.
Yes, it would be. So yeah, Onondaga is what I would say.
Okay. Like I said, Algonquin words, you got like a 50-50 shot. Just
right,
go with
yeah.
your gut and just say something.
Right. That you're close. You're close.
The first document mention of Ogi dates back to 1972 when a young Boy Scout returns from his camp, from a camping trip, finding a peculiar find, a salamander of unusual size.
Okay.
Intrigued by the creature at first, the boy eventually lost interest, prompting his parents to release it into the lake. So he was at a Boy Scout camping trip. I don't know where. I couldn't find where.
And he found a salamander.
And he found a big salamander.
Right.
But big enough for where a young Boy Scout could carry it around.
Right. So nothing like big is like man-eater.
I'm thinking like a 12-inch salamander.
Right. That's pretty big. That's...
For people, normal people to look like, that's a salamander, but it's a really big salamander.
Right.
It's not like a hellbender. I don't think he's carrying like a hellbender-sized animal around.
How big would that be?
A couple foot.
Okay.
You know, it's a like a big lizard size, which... They're also not going to like being carried around.
Right, I was going to ask
that. And
they
have a nasty bite.
Okay.
So
hellbenders?
Yeah, hellbenders do. So
would that be the only actual salamander in this area?
No, there's hellbenders don't go up this far north.
So what would be there?
They may be. Technically, they may have originally been in New York because the Appalachians kind of end up there.
Yeah.
So hellbenders probably could be a historic possibility.
Okay.
But there's a lot of mole salamanders on the East Coast. Tigers and, you know, spotteds and, you know, slimy salamanders, that kind of stuff. Not your aquatic salamander traditionally, you know, your burrowing salamanders.
Right, yeah.
So they threw it in the lake. His parents just chucked it into the lake. Which I guess if you didn't know, you're like, the salamanders live in the water, right?
At least it wasn't a tortoise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it wasn't a tortoise.
Threw it in the lake. Ain't dead.
However, the once normal salamander found itself immersed in a toxic pollutants that plagued the lake. Over time, the salamander underwent a grotesque transformation, evolving into the fearsome being known as Ogi.
So that's Ogi's origin story?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in 1977, a Cub Scout troop reported a dragon-like creature swimming in the lake. Some sightings have described it as a giant alligator. Ogi has become a local celebrity and appears in the area's annual Halloween festivals. We'll talk about that.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to take a little pause for the ad break. We'll play Do You Want Squonk or Do You Want Bigfoot?
Surprise me.
Or we could do an ad lib one.
You want to just... How about I just do a little ad break right here on the fly?
Okay, go ahead.
Flavors of the forest. Do you like seasoning your food with garlic? This is, hands down, the best garlic seasoning available on the market, in my opinion. They freeze dry pure garlic clove, just straight up 100% garlic clove, no filler, no paper, no roots, no stems, which is typically what you get when you buy garlic powder from the store. Flavors of the Forest uses pure, just straight garlic cloves. You're getting 100% freeze-dried garlic seasoning with a pinch of pink Himalayan salt. You can do the napkin test, they refer to it at home. You get out your cleanest, whitest napkin, pour out some of your garlic powder you have at home onto it, and then take some Flavors of the Forest and pour it beside it. Flavors of the Forest is going to appear snow white, whereas the stuff at home is going to be, you know, a yellowish color because it's full of fillers, and you're not getting the full flavor potential. Flavorsoftheforest.com/corn. You can buy Spice Bigfoot Breath, which is their garlic powder, or you can buy Spicy Garlic Breath, which is their garlic powder with a hint of pepper, which is for just a little bit of heat on the end. It's delicious. Flavorsoftheforest.com/corn to get you some garlic Bigfoot Breath garlic powder. And there you are. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
And back to Ogie. So local lore and community, despite the mythical status, Ogie has become an integral part of the local community's folklore. Every Halloween, so that's why I kind of picked this one, is it kind of has some Cinco Sam vibes.
Okay.
You know, if Cinco Sam would have made it into the 21st century,
yeah.
You know, I think it would have been something like this.
For which, sure.
They still love Cinco Sam out there, but, you know, the town's like 400 people.
Right.
In the middle of Kansas.
Not many. That's not getting out very
so much. So Ogie has become an integral part of the local community's folklore. Every Halloween, residents adore the street with flyers and displays depicting Ogie's monstrous appearance.
Okay.
Adding an air of mystery and excitement to their festivities. So I've seen all kinds to where it's this giant, like there's more traditional like giant salamander looking like creature or alligator.
Yeah.
You're more that subterranean, or not subterranean, that subaquatic creature.
Right.
More like traditional dragons, like Pip and stuff like that, where he's got wings and, you know, this big kind of goofy dragon.
Okay.
More mythical stuff, where it's this big six-legged beast, like almost like the Ozark Howler.
This is just how people describe what they're seeing? Yeah. Or okay.
Yeah, no, it's how they kind of put the depictions out there and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
You know, they kind of have fun with it for their folklore and Halloween.
Okay, just for the Halloween aspect of it. Yeah, okay, makes sense. You got to dress it up.
And they have a big fiberglass statue of him that they for the Halloween parade.
That's pretty sweet.
That's more of a traditional dragon.
Okay.
Beyond the role of a Halloween icon, Ogie serves as a particular purpose in the community. Due to the lake's containment, authorities have used the legend of Ogie as a cautionary tale to deter children from venturing into the extremely toxic waters.
That's fair enough.
The fear of encountering the legendary creature serves as a deterrent, ensuring the safety of curious individuals who might otherwise be tempted to explore the polluted lake. Now, let's talk about that.
The polluted lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because we've done that. We've talked about that with some of these other folklores, too, that if you tell kids about the normal dangers, they want to go investigate.
Right.
You have to kind of make...
Scare them a little bit.
You have to make these legendary creatures to really kind of put kids off of that kind of stuff.
Right.
We talked about that with the Loveland Frogman, you know, the Kentucky Frogman.
I was going to use the Snollygoster as an example, or Snallygoster.
How?
As far as being a legend that, like, may not be real, but a warning of, like, how dangerous the waters are.
How was the Snallygaster?
Not Snallygaster, the Snollygoster.
The Snollygoster.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, yeah, that was to tell how, like, dangerous the Okefenokee Swamp is and that,
right.
Those kind of things.
Yes.
Anybody that didn't see that was our live show at Squonkapalooza last year.
We talked
about the Snollygoster, which is different than the Snallygaster.
Very different.
But, yeah, no, there's definitely these crazy legends that kind of help put kids off of this. And this is a man-made danger. The lake has a traditional history of being very pure and stuff like that.
Mm. So corporations.
It's bad. This was one of those dumping grounds that there was like a 20-year period, I want to say, in U.S. history to where the EPA, for example, I'm using that as one organization of several major organizations that help regulate this stuff.
Okay.
But the EPA, for example, and the others didn't really have enough power to really do anything about it.
Yeah.
And politicians didn't care.
Okay.
So until one of those things changed, corporations were like, well, I'll just dump everything at night.
Yeah.
Because the water doesn't look gross then during the day.
Right, yeah.
Because like there's a famous one, I believe it was the director of the EPA, got flown out over the Ohio or the not the Ohio, the Mississippi River at dawn. So they did that, and it looked like a giant rainbow.
Yeah.
And you know, about a half hour later, it was all gone because they were only dumping their waste at night.
Yeah, gotcha.
So nobody got caught.
Gotcha.
Because it was illegal, but there wasn't really anybody checking in on it, right?
Right, exactly.
Like a speed limit. The speed limits really matter. There's no cops on the road.
Right.
Who can, you know, there's going to be people that follow the rules, and there's going to be people that don't.
Until you have a crew that comes through, test water quality, and trace it back to, yeah, trace it back to a certain area, then it ain't nothing going to happen.
I never seen it so bad that, like, I had equipment melt. But there were some spots that were close.
Didn't you have your boots, like, melt or something?
We didn't throw anything in that water because that was not water. That was acid.
Oh, okay.
That was, like, 1.2 pH, I believe. 1.2 or 1.4.
That's pretty strong.
Straight acid mine drainage.
Yeah.
We didn't need to test it because we knew, it was just sulfuric acid.
Right, yeah.
When there's no plants.
There's no fish in there.
No.
Yeah.
Very few forms of life could survive that. I'm not going to say there's none because there probably is one weird thing.
Extremophile.
Like a tardigrade just crawling on the bottom of that lake.
Yeah. Like, I love this.
A dream.
Where's all my friends, though?
But we'll come back to more polluted stuff.
Yeah, this reminds me of on The Simpsons, that little lake where the three-eyed fish are.
Yes.
This seems like the inspiration.
This is their three-eyed fish.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, Simpsons, they tell the truth about everything. This is one of the
I can't lakes believe you haven't picked up anything yet.
What, polluted?
No, you normally ruin my endings really bad.
Octo Bigfoot, man?
No. So, Oogie legends continue to endure today, captivating the imagination of the locals and visitors alike. Like I said, you know, it kind of helps. The creature's tale serves as a poignant reminder of the environmental challenges faced by this lake and the ongoing efforts to restore its ecological balance. So there is a kind of a happy ending, so don't worry. Pop culture, Oogie is featured in various forms of media, including literature, art, and even local festivals. The iconic statue of the mythical guardian of the lake has solidified its place in the region's rich history of folklore and legends. I really want to go see this. It's like a Mothman-like statue.
Okay.
Nobody really talks about it. And he even made it in a cartoon movie, or the inspiration for a cartoon movie came from him.
Oh, would I know this?
Yes, you should. It was in our childhood. It was, okay. Let me finish my spiel and we'll get to it.
Okay, don't tell me it directly, but give me like a little hint if you could when you get to that point.
Okay, so in conclusion, Oogie is an enigmatic, I can never say that word.
Enigmatic?
Yes. Lake monster of the lake remains a source of fascinating tales and intrigue for generations to come. Whether viewed as a cultural tale, a cautionary tale, a Halloween spectacle, or a symbol of the environmental resilience of the world, Oogie's legend endures as a testament of the enduring power of myth and folklore and the deep connection between communities and the natural surroundings. I love this. Like, there's not like a lot of sightings to this one. This one's probably not real. But it's one of those. It's one of those things that a town did a really good job of grabbing it.
Yeah.
And actually making laws change and increasing water quality with it.
That's a positive.
I've never heard of anybody else doing this with cryptid.
Yeah.
Using it for hardcore environmental change.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, these sightings and stuff like that, I can't find anything. There's a picture that floats around saying that's the Oogie monster.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a humpback whale from a bay. Because it's huge, first off.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a salamander.
Well, you don't know the scale that it's up against, you know?
Yeah, it just looks like it looks like, you know, when humpbacks right before their fluke, the tail comes out.
Right, yeah.
That part of their body, it looks very much like that. It's a living thing, whatever the picture is.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it's a humpback whale.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I don't know why people don't realize that with, like, lake monsters and sea monsters and stuff. They're like, how could something like that exist? There are animals. There are whales that are the size of ships.
Right, yeah.
Like, there are animals that get that like big.
Porphyrus. Was that its name?
Now you said it wrong.
Porphyrus.
No.
Now
I can't say it right. Porphyros.
Porphyros.
Yeah,
Porphyros.
It's like for real. So, let's say maybe this is real. One of the things I did think about before we get into the rest of this is that this, let's say it was a real, maybe a salamander or some other kind of creature. It lives on the bottom most of the time.
Yeah.
The pollution could have driven it up off the bottom and interrupted its natural behaviors.
Okay.
That's why for a short period of time it was being seen a lot.
Yeah.
The one sighting says there was about 200 people on the beach when it emerged for that photo.
Okay.
And they seen it when they were at a swim beach and stuff like that. People were swimming in this. If you think that's crazy, I've seen worse. Believe me, I've seen people eating fish out of stuff that we were had a Geiger counter with us.
Yeah. Nah, I probably shouldn't do that.
You know, there's a crew out there. If you look out, see, I've only experienced it from my end of doing the testing.
Right.
And but if I have a Geiger counter and a water test kit and you can see me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be fishing.
And you're like, huh. As wonder what they're testing as you're throwing your fish in your cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Chewing on it.
And your toes are falling off and stuff like that.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's kind of one thing I thought about. And then that's why the sightings kind of fell off is because it died.
Yeah.
You know, they don't live very long. If it was a salamander or any aquatic animal, alligators and stuff like that will even suffer from pollution very quickly.
Okay.
You know, we say salamanders are they're the first ones to go, but doesn't mean they're the only ones to go when this stuff comes in. They just are the first.
Yeah.
So what do you kind of think about that?
Well, that's what's throwing me off with it being a big salamander, even though it's a salamander-like thing, but if the
I don't know. So that's why it just came it came up.
Right. I'm just saying the fact that it's even mentioned with it, associated with it, but something's telling me though if the water quality is that bad, can't be a salamander.
Well, that's why it was seen for just a couple of years and then it died.
A couple of years is still a long time, though, for... Because once water quality starts getting bad, that's the first thing to go is salamanders.
Yeah, there could be spots it could be trying to hang out in, stuff like that. And, the whole lake doesn't just instantly go bad.
But still, it would probably be moved out. I don't know. I just don't think don't think salamander.
So, yeah, I don't really... This is one of those that has, not quite as bad as Hodag reputation.
Yeah.
Because there's not, and we love the Hodag people. I don't mean this as a thing, but there's not a group of people out there going out and saying that we're seeing Hodags every day.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We're not seeing Ogie every day.
I mean, maybe the guys at the Hodag store are seeing them, but.
Well, they see Hodags every day because they're he drives with them.
Yeah, they draw them in.
But yeah, so you can't think of a cartoon.
I can think of one. Denver, the last dinosaur.
He's my friend a whole lot more. No.
Yeah. Okay, give me a, do you got a theme song?
Let me look it up. I don't know if there's a theme song.
Because okay. I mean, what sort of hint? From my childhood?
So it was.
Dragon Tales?
It was a cartoon that was going out right when I was getting to the age of watching it. So it would have been perfect for you.
Okay, it's still...
The name of the cartoon is just the main character's name.
Okay.
So the monster from the movie was large. It was mostly blue with a yellow belly.
I don't know.
Doug's first movie.
Doug? This is from Doug?
Doug, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't remember Doug's first movie?
Maybe. I don't.
Okay, so, yeah, they basically...
Was this Disney Doug or Nickelodeon Doug? Because there is a difference. There is a major difference.
Well, this is... I think it was Disney, and Disney got Doug.
Yeah, right there at the top says Doug's first movie. So, no, I would have never watched it. Yes. I was in Nickelodeon Doug only. Once he made the switch, they just changed Doug. He wasn't the same.
So you don't remember this movie at all?
I don't.
Basically, the lake monster is starting to be seen and stuff like that. It's this big, scary lake monster. And I don't know. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. It's been probably pushing 2 decades at this point.
Okay.
Since I've seen it.
Yeah.
And they run into it, and it's hurt and stuff like that. And he's actually really friendly. They take him home. He's like a bipedal salamander.
Okay.
They take him home. They bandage him up. And they're like, well, they try to take him back to the lake, and he won't go in. And they start kind of fighting with him, like, oh, no, you need to go home. And he throws a stick in there, and it just, dissolves.
Oh, so they find out the lake's
hyper-polluted. There's people illegally dumping in the lake and stuff like that, blaming the lake monster and all this stuff. So, yeah, this was kind of the inspiration. Ogie was the inspiration. They dressed up as a woman at one point, and it was, this big, giant, ugly woman.
Yeah. Well, on Doug to try to,
They move it around and stuff like that.
It is like Denver Last Dinosaur. They dress him up, as a guy.
Last Dinosaur is really good, too.
That's a good one, yeah. It's a good show. If you haven't seen that show, go check out Denver Last Dinosaur. It's a good...
No, so that was kind of... I couldn't find where it was directly related, but one of the writers is from New York.
Yeah. I mean, I even if it wasn't, even if they didn't know, I'm sure in some roundabout way, that story inspired something that, inspired that whole... script, or at least the idea of it. I'm pretty sure
one of the main writers knew the legend.
Right, yeah.
Because he's from New York, and it was the same thing, where the only reason this giant salamander was seen was because the lake got super polluted,
right,
and he didn't go home until they cleaned it up.
Well, even if you don't know the legend directly, I'm sure in some roundabout way it inspired something that you knew. You know, just with it being environmentally, like, friendly, like, it just seems like the whole story of Ogie is about, you know, being consciously aware of polluting the environment and taking care of it, especially lakes.
They did a really good job. It's
For Doug or for the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, sorry, I was reading something.
I know. I mean, but it's important. It's important, you know, we got to take care of our environment. We got to take care of our surroundings and stop letting, big corporation pollute our environment around us.
I'm trying to think if anybody else has used a cryptid for environmental change.
Well, not yet. But, you know, maybe if we discover the Trinity's Alps giant salamander, we may be added to that list.
I'm glad you used the segue. Remember, guys, the Kickstarter should still be live because this is, I think I'm going to use this for the upcoming Wednesday.
Yeah. We're going to rediscover the...
We need help. We need your guys' help to fund it. I don't know how much it's funded at this point, but it's working on it. We have a team of scientists. Basically, it's the bare minimum it'll cost to get everything done and do the genetic studies and stuff like that. And if it will be saving a cryptid that needs saved.
Yep.
I do not think they will still be here in a decade or two. I really think they're on the...
Unless something major changes very soon.
Which it can with the next couple of years if we get out there and we help. Or somebody else does, not just us. You know?
Right.
But if it gets rediscovered in the next couple of years, it will help it dramatically. But yeah, anything else? I know these Wednesdays are short, but I just thought Ogie was a perfect one.
Yeah, I like this one. You know, a good environmentally friendly episode.
I don't think anybody ever realized how many salamander cryptids there were until they started listening to the show.
I didn't know.
And how many UFOs have tentacles?
We're all learning new things here on this show. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That's why we're under the educational tab for some reason. That was never the intent. But
I never selected educational. It put us there.
Spotify put us there. Yeah.
I didn't do nothing.
No, but I like it, you know?
You are the Jay clone.
Yes.
That is your actual Spotify name.
I know. It's just, well, that's what happens.
When everybody keeps calling you that.
You got clones. Might as well recognize them.
All right. Well, I have been the great and powerful Mr. E.
I think I've been J. Clone 34.
I think that was the right number. I can't see the back of your head from where we're sitting.
Me either. I need my mirrors.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.